Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, in this earthly life we endure sufferings and death before we enter into eternal glory. Grant us grace at all times to subject ourselves to your holy will and to continue steadfast in the true faith to the end of our lives, that we may know the peace and joy of the blessed hope of the resurrection of the dead and of the glory of the world to come. Amen. Salvation from a serpent. Salvation from a fiery sting. Salvation from death. These are the immediate dangers, the immediate needs of the Israelites in our Old Testament reading from Numbers chapter 21 today. And if you'd been reading up to that point, if you'd been reading through the book of Numbers, when you get to this chapter, to this very event, well, you might not describe it as comical. It's probably not the right word. You wouldn't laugh, maybe. But you might slap your forehead. You might shake your head and sigh and wonder why they would do this again. Right? Would they never learn? And again is a key word, because this is not the first time the Israelites had complained against God and against Moses. It's not even the first time that people had died shortly following such complaints. Fiery serpents, as you read through the book of Numbers, fiery serpents might not even be the worst thing that happens to them in the wilderness. But it does repeat some of the notes that become a recurring theme throughout all of the scriptures as a whole. Serpent, fire, death. These things combined with the sins of the people, people who were impatient with God, people who actually end up saying that they prefer slavery, among other reasons, because the food was better, that say they prefer slavery to following God where he leads them. But the fiery serpents bring them round, at least a bit, and they say, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and we have spoken against you, Moses. So pray to the Lord for us that he take away the serpents. And that might not be the best confession, but take it for what it is. They do say that they have sinned, and they turn to the Lord through Moses for help. And God loves them so that he has Moses lift up a serpent that whoever looks upon it shall not perish, but have life. God loves the Israelites in that unique way. And notice, he doesn't simply give them anti-venom. He didn't give them any other form of medicine. He doesn't even take away the serpents. Instead, he has Moses raise up a bronze serpent on a pole, and it works. Right? God attaches a promise to this bronze serpent that whoever looks at it survives being bitten by these fiery snakes. And surely after that, you would think, especially among all of the other times that God has saved them, this would certainly produce steadfast faith, a resolve to shape up, right? Sadly, no. As you keep reading in the book of Numbers, you do not get that impression. Rather, you get the idea that the Israelites still always wanted to be back in slavery of some sort. They look out at the world, they look out at the people around them, they want to be just like them. They do not want to be people wandering in the desert. They do not want to be people following the Lord with the promise of someday, inheriting a wonderful paradise. And another way to put this might be that they love the darkness rather than the light. But the bronze serpent was a beacon in that darkness. And the Israelites did keep it. They held on to it. And it had to remind them constantly that the Lord had saved them, that the Lord was saving them from things like serpents, fire, death. And if that's what this bronze serpent on a pole meant, or at least should have meant, to the Israelites back then what does it mean that Jesus, the Son of God, hangs on a cross? Now, I would posit that it certainly doesn't mean less than what the bronze serpent does. Jesus on a cross is not inferior. No, the lesser points to the greater. The bronze serpent points forward to Jesus. And so, as I said, what does it mean about our situation that Jesus has to hang from a pole? Because it certainly cannot mean that everything is fine, even though we don't have fiery snakes around us. Give the Israelites in the desert this. At least they recognized that the serpents were bad and that they were in a bad way with them around. What the Israelites never got around to seeing is that it was their fixation on the ways of the world around them. They're wanting to fit in. They're wanting to be just like the people around them. At just about any cost, right? They would settle for being slaves in that world. They do not see that it is because of that things like serpents keep popping up. Dear Christians here tonight, if the snakes were bad, I think everyone would admit that they were, and if God's answer was a bronze serpent, then what does our situation have to be like if God puts his Son on a pole? Could it mean anything other than that humanity's situation is more dire than venomous snakes nipping at our heels? That the situation we find ourselves in is more dangerous? That the cure is more drastic than what we see happening in Numbers chapter 21? Because in that chapter, the serpent's fiery bite only represents the far more dangerous consequences of listening to the serpent in the garden, the serpent that lied to our parents, the serpent that tricked Eve and Adam, and who continues to lie to us today as well. And notice he does so chiefly by telling us the word of the Lord does not mean that much. And that the consequences of disobeying will not be that bad. Not as bad as God says they will. And by pointing us to other things, things that look good, so we assume must be good, and so why not take part in them? Everyone else is. Do not take those temptations lightly. The fiery serpents in Numbers chapter 21 have nothing on the serpent. They have nothing on Satan. He is far more deadly. And you have been taken in by his lies too. His venom is in your veins. And you've done it over and over again. This is exactly why you need a Savior. Just like the Israelites in Numbers chapter 21, you cannot save yourself, just as they could not. And this is the serpent that Jesus came to defeat. It's what one of the earliest statements in the scriptures of the gospel means when God tells the serpent, Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Jesus Christ, the seed of a woman, comes to crush, comes to defeat the serpent that is Satan. Jesus comes to destroy death. He comes to save us from the fires of hell. He comes to bring us into the kingdom of God, the promised paradise for all of those who wait for the Lord. This is what the cross of Christ and his resurrection mean. At the very least. And that is why his cross is a beacon in the midst of a world darkened by the lies of Satan. And we look to him not by traveling to some place on the globe so that we can see him still hanging there, but rather we look to him by the eyes of faith and take God at his word. Believe what he says about his son. God loves the world so. He gives his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus comes to save. God fights back against Satan and against the sinful world by the means of his son's death and resurrection. This is the sign that he talked about in our gospel reading last week, that Pastor Miller talked about being destroyed, and then about being raised up again 3 days later. Now that may not seem like much, but I doubt the bronze serpent looked like much either. Against the darkness of this world, we have the love of God in Christ Jesus, and that is not nothing. Now, that is the greatest love that has ever been shown. And the darkness may be dark, but Jesus is light. The devil may be bad, but Jesus is gooder. The world may be sinful, but Christ has done away with the sins of the world by means of his cross. Death may be death, but ultimately it gives way to the power of God to raise the dead. Your salvation, the fact that you come, that you believe in Jesus as the Son of God who takes away the sins of the world, is every bit of as miraculous as the miracle in Numbers chapter 21. And it is more so. Because your situation was being dead in your sins and trespasses, but God has made you alive together with Jesus Christ. You are, as Jude would put it elsewhere, brands plucked out of the fire. As the situation of the Israelites was dire, yours was worse. But God has answered your dire situation with an even greater salvation. Your salvation is greater than theirs was. And I am telling you, and Jesus is telling you, that the best is yet to come. After the desert, the land of milk and honey. Amen.